Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keyes. This is a special edition today. I know it's not Saturday, it's Sunday, but thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow me on twitter.com/joykeyes, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keyes. And I'm on Instagram, yes, lots of cool pictures. Tag me in some of your pictures. You might win a prize. You guys know I give away movie tickets and iTunes gift cards and all types of things, books. So follow and tag, and you may be a winner. I want to say thank you to all the listeners. We're past 820,000 downloads of the podcast. Could not have done that without you. So thank you, thank you, and thank you. Well, this morning I'm honored with a guest from across the pond. You might have seen him. Good morning, Nonso.
Good morning, good morning. Thank you for having me on the show. Really good to be here, really good to be here.
Oh, well, Dalus to you for coming on the show, and I want to say to you, Kedu ka emere this morning.
Ah, so you speak some Igbo.
A little bit of Igbo, a little bit of Yoruba, a little bit of this.
Kedu ki eme, ke ke eme. You're not so sweet. If you want to have a conversation, we can start.
No. You will embarrass me to the ends of earth, you know. I can say, you know, like, how are you? And thank you.
Okay. So I will say ozigo. That means take it easy. I'll leave you alone. I won't go too far into the language. But a lot of viewers might not know that I'm British born. I grew up in Britain, but my parents are Nigerian and they're Igbo. Which I'm also very proud of, and I go back as often as I can and get involved in stuff in Nigeria. But anyway, thank you very much for having me on the show.
You're welcome.
Be going out to such a wide audience all over the world.
Well, I want to say I was really caught. You caught my eye in Game of Thrones. When you came on Game of Thrones, I was like, whoa, black man, wait a second. Okay, everybody be quiet. Be quiet. what is he saying? What is he? What? Okay. What's going on here, you know?
That part in Game of Thrones was a real godsend. It was a really beautiful thing to be part of. The show is done. Ridiculous numbers. It's popular in every country in the world. It's the most downloaded show in HBO's history. In terms of any TV show, it's the most downloaded show. So to be involved in that show, and where the writers are so good, and the storyline was actually quite lovely. It wasn't, you know, like a bit part. I came on and I tried to change the fate of Khaleesi, you know. So a lot of people were very interested in my storyline, and I got to play with Emilia Clarke quite a lot, and great directors like Alan Taylor, who just directed Before recently, and
you know, I just had a really. Was going to happen. I thought, like, I was like, okay, I was waiting for some for you and her to get mad, so I'm going to go on, you know, and then you got killed. I was like, no.
Well, you know, this is Game of Thrones, you know, and whoever is the most devious, the most plans ahead, the most is the most prepared, wins, and yes. I guess. You know, with this battle, Zara Zahandokos wasn't prepared enough to face Khaleesi. But I will say that if you've read the books, you will know that that may not be the last you see of Zara. But that's all I'm going to say.
That's all you can say. But, all right.
It was a great experience. And I'm still a fan of the show. Even though I'm working on it at the moment, I still am a very big fan of the show.
Well, you did a great job, and I'm glad that you were on there, glad representing the peeps, so to speak. But now you're on Dracula, and you have a strong role in there as Renfield. You're supporting Dracula. You're his main, you know, right-hand man. Talk to the audience about how did you get that part? How did you come to audition for it? Did somebody call you?
As an actor, you get a call from your agent saying that, you know, NBC or network, whatever they happen to be, in this case it was NBC, are interested in you playing a character called Renfield. They send you the script. I read the script. I really, as soon as I read it, I fell in love with it. I was like, okay, this is something I can bring something to. This is an intelligent guy, someone who is controlling the situation. I love playing these kind of characters. And it's very rare, especially, you know, like you say, being a black face in shows like Game of Thrones, it's rare you get black people getting cast in these kind of strong, powerful, intelligent, in control roles. So when you get that kind of role as an actor, it's, you relish it because you don't often get a chance to play it. So as soon as I went up for the audition once, I did my piece for it, and they cast me straight away. They said, well, this is the life for it. And they didn't need to call me back or meet anybody else. It was pretty much a foregone conclusion. I was pretty thrilled about that, and I had a great time filming it.
How much research did you do? I mean, did you research, you know, Africans or African-Americans in England at the time? What did you find out when you did?
A lot of the research. I tend to do a lot of research for roles, especially when it's historical. I did a lot of research originally when I did a film called Atonement, which is directed by Joe Wright. I appeared quite for a short time in that movie. And I did a lot of research about black people, black British people, black people from Africa who moved over at that time. And that provided the base of my research for, I could start again from there because I had already done almost a year's research before I did that film. And so I had a big folder left over from 2007 when we shot it. That I still have, you know, it was sitting on top of my files, and I picked it down and I started adding to it. And it's funny, the amount of evidence there is of Americans, black Americans living in England is quite small. There were a few people, but in terms of prominent people that you could really remark upon, I couldn't find many. But I could find some information about prominent black people at the time in America, specifically North America.
Yeah.
The north of the United States, as in New York, places like that, that were prominent black people, and you'd read about their lineage and how they came to be free from slavery and were prominent businessmen and people that worked as, you know, different things within America. And that research helped me build Renfield as a believable character. This is someone who, at a time when people are still, you know, subservient, black people are still subservient to black people, to white people in America, he has a confidence that would be seemingly fantasy. But with the research that I did, I was able to build a character that was believable and at the same time fit into the era that he lives in. Because we're in 1896, Victorian London. So it's a big stretch of the imagination, but that's what we do as actors. And we love to, you know, put on masks and build characters. And this was a great opportunity to build a great character. And the response, I've got to say, is amazing. I've just come on Twitter like 2 weeks ago. I've had loads of people showing me lots of love about the show. You can follow me at Nonso Anozie, which is NONSOANOZIE. And I've had a lot of love from a lot of brothers and sisters, a lot of people just in general just saying that they really love what I'm doing on Dracula. They love Game of Thrones. And
you're very dapper on the show. And unfortunately, though, something just happened to your character. And now we're like biting our nails like, oh, no. And wait, you know, you're 6'6". You're actually the same height as my brother. My brother is 6'6". So you don't scare me. If I ever saw you, you wouldn't scare me anything. So I'm used to tall people. I'm actually the short person. I'm 5'9".
I was going to say, how tall are you?
I'm 5'9". Yeah, I'm tall for a woman, but I'm short for my family. So when I saw you get beat up, I was like, oh, no, what? What the heck?
when we shot that, they tried to shoot it with two guys kind of kidnapping me. I was like, listen, we've got to make this believable. This is Renfield.
Exactly.
I'm 6 foot
exactly.
six. I'm damn near 300 pounds. We've got to say hello. We've got to make this believable. So they threw in a few extra guys, and we worked it out in rehearsals and made it look more believable that they could knock me out and subdue me. I put up a little bit of a fight, though, I would like to say. But, you know, I threw a little punch. I threw a little punch here. But it was a good scene to film. It was almost like a throwback to Untouchables. You remember the film Untouchables with Kevin Costner?
Yeah.
He plays a police inspector. It was almost like a take on that with the stairs and the pram going down the stairs, and he gets interesting. I can't really say anything, obviously.
I know,
About what happened.
I know, and I'm sad because the show didn't come on this past Friday, and people across the social media are like, "What did you? Did my DVR mess up? I mean, what's going on? Why was there no show?"
Yeah.
So, when is the next episode coming on?
The next episode will be next Friday, the 29th of November, at 10 p.m., 9 Central. So in the same time, but I think they had a Kennedy Memorial
They had a lot of for JFK, right.
Yeah.
Well, I
wanna, that was the reason why I couldn't come up.
I want to mention to the audience that, you know, they might just be seeing you here in America. You're also playing in Ender's Game as Sergeant Dapp with Harrison Ford and
if you want to go to the cinema, still in theaters, Ender's Game, in which I play Sergeant Dapp alongside Harrison Ford, Ben Kingsley, and the lovely, lovely Viola Davis, who is just about the loveliest lady I've ever met. I've worked with. Unfortunately, we didn't have any scenes together, but we had a little bit of downtime offset. Normally when she'd be finishing work, I'd be coming to start work, so we'd kind of run across each other. Because we weren't, if you watched the movie, right?
I haven't seen the movie yet, no, but I plan to see it. I know. Terrible. But
okay, I'm not in any scenes with Viola, but I would cross paths with her a lot during filming, and we got to talk about her experience on The Help and her experience since being nominated for the Oscar and all those kind of things. It's so good to work with actors like Harrison Ford that have been in the business for a long time, and they've got a lot of wisdom to in part,
Liam Neeson is an awesome powerhouse. I love him. Talent. You were in The Gray, that crazy movie. I mean, some of those scenes, into The Wolf. That was like, too much.
The director of that movie, Joe Carnahan, said, "You listen, I want to make a real movie. Well, I want to make a movie along the lines of Deliverance and Jaws, something that's going to have people biting their nails. And we're not necessarily going to give them a happy ending." I don't want to give away the story for the film. People haven't seen the film The Gray, but he wanted to make something stark and real. And originally we were going to shoot most of it in the studio, but he said, "Listen, we're going up to this mountain, Smithers, and it's winds 90 miles an hour. It's freezing cold. It's going to freeze your butt off for months."
I heard about
that.
Your face got frozen.
That's exactly. I got frostbite on my face. It was ridiculous. It was so cold, but, I'm up for a challenge, and I love something that's going to be challenging. So we went up to this place, and it was like 650 people lived in this town called Smithers. And we would go up this mountain every day and come back down and be slightly less of a, more of a husk of a man than when we went up. It would take it out of you every day, but we got through it. I think a great movie, and thanks for plugging out because I really enjoyed making that.
Well, I think it was just really stark. That's all I'm going to say. Like I said, I don't want to give stuff away, but it's a little hard to digest sometimes. But a great movie, so definitely download it if you want to check it out on like Amazon or iTunes. I want to just talk to you about a couple more serious matters. We talked about your career a little bit. But you are over in the UK, and you mentioned about your parents being from Nigeria. I want to bring up the issue of immigration in the UK. Recently, I was reading that they're trying to get landlords to check people's immigration status and decide whether or not they're going to rent to them. You have any opinion about that?
Well, for me, checking people's immigration status is going to... I don't know. I'm not a political person. I do have my own opinions about things, but I prefer not to get involved in it too much. Checking people's immigration status in the UK before they get in the country should be the line of defense. For me, aren't you wasting money by putting legislation on landlords that are going to have to spend more money to do more checks? And that's going to cost the taxpayer more money. But I don't know. I've got opinions. But I don't want to become some political figure. I do. There are certain things that I want to do and certain things that I want to create as an actor and as a director. And I'd rather speak through my work than speak candidly as a person. Do you understand what I'm saying?
No, I understand. Yeah. Well, let's talk about the fact that you were in Wolfie Yinka's production, The King and His Queen.
Oh, yeah.
And that was the
first black play
on the main stage of the National Theater, and
yes,
the first time that Wolf Sienka's play had been performed. So tell me about that. Talk to the audience about that experience, how you got cast, and how long it ran.
I mean, the Definitely King's Horseman is a story about the horseman of the Oba. In the Yoruba tradition, the Oba is the king. Now, he has a right, what you would call a right-hand man, or a person in high standing called the horseman. Now, if the Oba dies, the tradition is that the horseman must die alongside with him. That's tradition. And there's a ceremony that takes place where you dance yourself into a frenzy in which your spirit leaves your body and you will die. This is what it was done in Yoruba tradition for hundreds, if not thousands of years. Mm. And this is what the play is about. Now, we're talking about Nigeria at the point where it's under British rule.
Colonial rule,
so
yeah.
It's a colony of Nigeria. It's a colony of the United Kingdom. So on the night, I don't want to give everything away, but if you know the play, you know the play. But basically, it's how the British, in one instance within this play, the British interfere with tradition. They try to stop this tradition happening. And what are the effects of it? And basically, Wole Soyinka, the first African Nobel laureate, has written a play which speaks to both the British and asks the question, what have you done and what are you going to do about it? And this is what you've left us with. But it also asks the question to African leadership and says, if you're going to take up the mantle of being our leader, you better be prepared to follow through. You better be prepared, even if it means falling on your sword and dying. You need to be prepared to do that. You can't sit on your laurels and, siphon monk money into a Swiss bank account. You've got to take responsibility for your leadership. I said I wasn't going to get political today, but I got you.
We're talking about theater, darling, and we're talking about theater bring a voice to the politics.
Yes,
and that's
it
what
is.
You
it to is, do. And that's how I. Yeah, exactly what I wanted to do. For me, when I read the play, when I read the play, I was really, really excited about what it was saying and the way it said it. And this is, 35 black people on the United Kingdom, on the National Theatre stage, the first time a black playwright, and this is 2009 that we did it, and the first time a black playwright had been performed on the National Theatre stage, to me that's a tragedy, that it took up to 2009 for that to happen, which is
ridiculous.
But it happened, and I was part of it, and the 34 other people that I worked with were great. And the thing is, it was directed by Rufus Norris, who, funnily enough, is the son of a district officer who was a district officer in Nigeria.
No way.
And at the time, probably around a little bit further on from the time when this play was set. So it had a lot of interesting things about it. And really, when we did that play, it was very spiritual. It had a lot of, we did a lot research into masquerade and the occult and how that influenced these events, these cultural things they did in Nigeria. And we really went deep. And, if you were there, you experienced, you were part of the experience. And I was blessed enough to be part of it. And, it stays with me till today. You hear me talking about it. I'm very passionate about the play. And I actually would love to see another production, if not be in another production of that. Because
that's something I'm going to charge you. You could do that, and I could speak a little Yoruba to you. Say alafia ni.
Oh, okay. I'm not.
I know a little bit of this, a little bit of that, so.
Right.
If you have
a
small role. But so let's talk about some fun stuff. We're running out of time. So, who's your favorite clothing designer? Because your character on Dracula is very dapper. Are you dapper in real life? Or are you dressed down in jeans? What's your style?
No, I'm kind of dressed down in jeans. I'll get whatever I like. I recently bought a the Gatti jacket, a John Smith suit, a Hugo Boss tuxedo, you know, I'm kind of high street, kind of, I'm making a little bit of money now, so I can wear, you know, wear something.
I can start to wear things
that are kind of nice. And have things made as well that fit very well. And so I've never been a fashionista or anything like that, but I'm definitely, you won't see me on E talking about who's, you know, fashion police or anything like that, but definitely not. But I like a good fitting suit. I like quality material, but I like things that are good, made well. It's not so much the name, but the quality of whatever it is I'm wearing, how it feels and how it makes me feel.
So can you cook? Because I like guys who can cook. Or do you suppose someone cook for you?
Yeah, I can cook.
Okay, so what's your best meal?
I don't mind people cooking for me, but I like cooking too. Now, what I would say, it's a toss-up between my favorite Nigerian dish, which is okra soup. I would eat it with eba. A lot of people don't like okra because it kind of has a slimy
kind of slimy texture.
There's a slimy consistency to it, which if you don't know, it's kind of made up of some okra, different kinds of spices that you mix up in the soup, with
you
chicken,
fufu?
Beef, and all that
fufu?
Kind of. I don't eat it with fufu. I eat it with eba, which is cassava husk grinded into a powder. You put hot water on it. You can flavor it with salt and pepper, whatever you want to do, but I just put water on it. You leave it to set, and then you stir it, and it's kind of like the same consistency as Play-Doh or plasticine or something like that. And then you would take the eba, and you dip it in the soup and eat like that. That would probably be one of my favorite things to cook and eat. Well, I've never been able to cook it as well as my mom could cook it. Now, she can really throw down in the kitchen, which is why I ended up being 6'6" and feel like a linebacker. But the other thing I really like to make is baked ziti, which is really nice.
Really? Baked ziti?
I like to make baked ziti. You know what? I was watching, this sounds so funny, I was watching The Sopranos, and they kept talking about baked ziti. What is this baked ziti? And I just went online. This is a true story. I literally went online, and I found out how to make baked ziti, and I made it. And it tried to introduce a whole lot of, yeah, so I think you've been to a whole lot of different Italian foods. You know, I make fusilli, I make spaghetti formi.
Have you been to Italy? I've been to Italy many times, about four times.
Rome, Milan, you know, and Pisa. So, you know, I've traveled a lot. I really like traveling and exploring different things about people's cultures. And I was recently in, shooting Dracula in Budapest, which is in Hungary, and that was an experience because the food is interesting. The people are really friendly and quite forthcoming, and it was a really great experience. Before that, I was in New Orleans shooting End of Game. Went to the Jazz Fest, and that, I don't know if you've been to Jazz Fest before or Essence Festival.
Yes, I'm still there. Talking about being in New Orleans, but let's talk about Cinderella real quick. When does Cinderella come out?
Okay. Oh, Cinderella comes out. It's actually not actually going to come out until March. I think I'm not actually allowed to give it a date because I'm not sure, but it's going to be 2015, early 2015.
Oh,
Yeah, so I'm filming that right now at Pinewood Studios. It's really great alongside Helena Bonham Carter, Kate Blanchett, directed by Kenneth Branagh. Richard Madden plays the prince. Richard Madden was the King of the North in Game of Thrones.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, he plays the prince, and the princess Cinderella is played by Lily James, who's also in Downton Abbey. It's great fun, having a great time filming it, and I'm just basically enjoying having a really good hot career right now. I really feel it. I just thank God for that. You know, things are really moving in the right direction, and I'm getting to work with some really great people. That's the key thing. Really because I learn, they learn from me, I learn from them. We change the world a bit by bit, you know. And that's kind of how I've always wanted my career to be, and for it to be turning out that way is such a blessing.
I want to say happy belated birthday. I think you had a birthday recently, the 17th or
16th. Wow.
Yeah.
You do your research. I try. Yeah, 17th of November is my birthday. For some reason, there have been a couple of articles saying that I'm not from where I'm from. I was born in May or something like that. Anyway, I was born on the 17th of November. I was 35. I'm getting on.
You're so
young, and
you're so young.
Oh my God! For getting older, we say we're getting on. So yeah, I'm. There's no youth anymore. I'm a man. This is like.
Yes. You are a man.
This is.
You're a gentleman. You're a gentleman.
I am. I am man.
You are. He is man.
He is man.
Well, anyway, thank you so much for coming on the show this morning. I had a ball chatting with you.
Yeah, it's been lovely.
You have to come back on again when you come, you know.
Yeah.
And we'll be
I've got a few more projects happening in the new year. We'll talk about them when they're coming out. And it's been really great talking to you.
Well, you have a wonderful day. And, again, Dalu, Imela, for coming on the show today.
Wow. Are you Nigerian from another life or something?
No, no, I also know I know Bambara, too. Eka Kenewa.
Wow.
You don't know Bambara, see? Okay, so next time, when you come back on next time, you do your studying, young man.
All right.
Then
I'll do my studying. I'll go deep. But then you'll be like, oh, stop. I can't speak the language.
Oh, stop, I can't speak it.
No, a little bit.
Okay, you have a wonderful day, okay?
Okay, you too. All right.
I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye. Just got off the phone with actor Nanso Anoze. He's over on the other side of the pond. We had a wonderful chat. If you want to listen to the interview, it'll be archived. You can follow me on Twitter at Joy Keith. You can follow him on Twitter, Nanso Anoze, NansoAnoze. You can follow him on Twitter. He also has a Facebook page, Nanso Anoze. So check him out. You can also check me out on Instagram, Saturdays with Joy Keys on Instagram, and the show is on Facebook. And you can send me an email. My email address is SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. I encourage you to follow. I might be giving away some movie tickets. Maybe you can go see Nanso and Ender's Game. You guys have a wonderful weekend. Thank you so much for supporting the show.